Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Full Time Reds. It's me, Chris Brack, and it's my partner in crime, Kev. Can't speak today.
I'm
half asleep. Another preseason game done. RB Leipzig 0, Liverpool 5. Darwin Nunez just can't stop scoring. Mo Salah scores. Nothing to worry about, really. Nice and easy, wasn't it, Kev?
Yeah, it was cracking, wasn't it? I mean, it was one of those games going into it, you think, they're going to get a real test tonight. And I looked at the lineups, both sides, and I thought, they've gone strong, you know, and we're at their ground. It's a full house there. There are 47,000 there tonight. And you've got a couple of ex-players going back there to, you know, see how they go. And yeah, I was expecting a proper test tonight. And in some parts of the games, we got it. But I thought we were excellent. Start to finish for 90 minutes. I don't think anyone let any, there was nobody to let anybody down. I think certain parts of the play were a bit, can be improved on, definitely. But overall, it was a really good, solid preseason. That there was so much that you there was so much to like about that performance to whet your appetite for what's to come. And I'm not talking about the goals. I mean, the goals are a Brucey bonus. Welcome. Yeah, the goals are a Brucey bonus. But for me, it was like Bobby. Bobby was really good. The press was brilliant. The intensity and the shepherding Leipzig into areas of the pitch that we wanted them to go to. That kind of stuff that we're accustomed to seeing Liverpool do for the last few years. It was there and it was really sharp and really good, solid. Was really happy with the overall performance tonight. And there were some stars. There were some standouts. There was a few standouts, to be fair.
Yeah, we'll
yeah, overall, really, really delighted with everything.
Yeah, we'll come to that. I mean, there's a bit more snap in the passing, just a bit more energy about it. Well, look, they're a week further along. It's what you kind of expect. You know, you start to see the patterns of play you sort of expect to see from Liverpool. Got for balance, there was some criticism of the first half, saying it's the same as last year. We don't seem to be scoring enough or creating enough chances. Interestingly, post-match, Klopp was a bit critical of the first half, saying he was expecting more running, more movements, and Key saying he needed something from mid. He needed something to break them up, and he did point out Henderson as in the second half as a number eight who was breaking from midfield, and maybe that's a criticism of Thiago and Kate in the first half was lots of nice passing, lots of nice interplay, probably not enough getting into the, you know, get into the final third and, you know, push, just become the fourth attacker, which was what we were doing last year, and that's what we were good at. But quite too hypercritical, you know. Mo Salah just looks revitalized.
Yeah. It's amazing what a rest in his game, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing what a rest does to you. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and getting your contract sorted. But you know, I think the big thing was, jokes as I was, I think he was knackered. I think he was knackered last year. I think at some point it all caught up with him, which is
normal.
Bobby looked better. Yeah. I'm still concerned about how much of the old Bobby you'll get back. What he wasn't doing, which what he was doing at the end of last season, was he was keeping the ball better. And if he was giving it away, he was making sure he was getting the foul for it. Whereas before, he was dropping deep, getting the ball and being soft. Diaz was probably, by his standards, a bit quiet, probably shepherded off the ball a bit too much. But look, we know what he can do. The big challenge for me, for Diaz this year, is can he get more goals and assists in his game? You know, the ability's there, the threat is there. It's just what will we see? But who stood out for you first half?
First half, Bobby, definitely. So Virgil was really good. Some of Virgil's passing from the back into Mo was fantastic. It was...
He's more the aggressive.
Long, 60 yards, inch perfect, into space, into the right space, picking the right pass at the right time. Some of Thiago's touches were good. Robertson drives me absolutely nuts. And he's done for years with the positions that he gets into. I see Jordi Alba do this for Barcelona and get goals. Robertson should get more goals in this side for the positions that he gets himself into and the shots he gets off. He should get more goals, you know, but that's being hyper critical. Do you know what I mean? Defensively, he's as solid as the day is long. He gets up and down the line. He's a constant threat on the overlap. But I think he does 80% of it absolutely brilliantly, gets into brilliant positions and just either rifles at the keeper or shanks it over the top. If he could ever work on his finishing, he'd definitely be good for 4 or 5 goals a season because he just gets in great positions. So Salah...
To be fair, Scouser Pete points out, you probably could label that a Trent a little bit as well.
I think they're different.
They're different, but Trent does shank chances that, by his ability, you would expect him to score. He's got the talent. He's got but I mean, listen, if we're being hypercritical, our criticism of two fullbacks is should probably get more goals from the positions they get themselves into. Assists, look, we've got heaps of assists. Daz are saying heaps of assists, no good for you, Kev. Well, we can't just persist. We can sit here and go, it's all brilliant. But we have had chances where we want goals from all around the team. And Robbo and Trent both have opportunities where you go, should bury that, should bury that. I mean, listen, Tsimikas doesn't score loads either. So, you know, it's just part of our game we could add to. You know, if you want to look at a look closer rival, you know, it'd be interesting what City get from their fullbacks, you know. But I sort think
Cancelo is another one who gets in great positions. You know, Trent, this is what I think with Trent. Trent tends to attack and he tends to hold that right centre mid role while we're in attack. He doesn't tend to get into the box too often. But Robertson's just got that kind of free spirit where he gets into brilliant positions. And it's almost a case of, like, you know, when you get a player and he looks up and he goes, what the hell am I doing here? Shit, I'll shoot. You know, it's just he gets there so often. I just wish he could do that shooting a bit better. But everything else about his game, I thought he was really, really good. I mean, Naby Keita...
Neat and tidy, I would say, is the best.
Yeah, neat and tidy and safe. And you hit the nail on the head with what Klopp was saying after the game. That there was a time when, in the first half, where I think it was halfway through the first half, we were in their half on our right-hand side, and we had about 4 or 5 players all within 10, 15 yards of each other, and nobody seemed to know where they should be and where they should be making runs to. And it's just little things, but it is a preseason game and they will iron that out.
Yeah.
You know, but there's certain times where you think Naby was in the position where you want Trent to be in and you want Naby making that run around on the on the outside to open up more space. That's all that is. It's only a little tweak and it'll come. But some of the stuff that he's played with, I thought the pressing in the last game was really good. I thought his defensive work today was good. His passing is fine. It's just that little bit of dynamism that he needs to get back into his game. And I think
the classic example is probably the win at Old Trafford, where he did that constantly, became the fourth man runner. Look, he got a goal from it, and, you know, he was heavily involved in the assist. So it's in his game, you know. But look, that's not just a Keita thing. You could, you know, if Keita wants to be the one hanging back, then Thiago's got to push a little bit more, which he can do. You know, that's probably one of the things Henderson's has been pretty good at. And Klopp referenced it. He will make the runs. You know, does it always come off? No. Does he give the ball away because people bring it up? Yes, he does. But so do many others. But he will sometimes do the run outside wide to allow someone to cut in. It's just to give you a bit of unpredictability. The other thing I noticed was, first off, Virgil was more the aggressor and Canate was sweeping behind. Now, it seemed like Virgil said he was taking Solaf, who's just a unit. Not normally the way. It's almost like normally Virgil says, you go and do that, I'll sweep behind. It's almost like they did a bit of a role reversal, which it's good to see. Good for Canate just to get used, you know, something else, another string to your bow, you sweeping behind. I think he only had one moment where he tried to repeat his Benfica trick, but got away with it. And look, Adrian, look, he's third choice. I know he's not everyone's favourite person, but look.
He made some good saves.
Good saves.
Distribution was fine.
Distribution was fine. Solid performance. But
yeah, it was fine. Absolutely nothing wrong with him whatsoever.
And then
we would get on to the first goal. Mm. It all came from a counter press. And at first glance, I thought Bobby was offside.
Mm.
And he wasn't. It was just, but the way to pass from Bobby to Mo and the composure that Mo showed to slot it away, he looks like he's on the verge of doing an absolute madness, doesn't he?
He does. He seems to be on, you know, pretty happy. You know, nice finish. Gets put through, very similar to probably the way he's put through in the Champions League final. And he tries to pass it in near post. You know, with the left foot, he's got to always put his foot through it sometimes. But, you know, he's being hypercritical. But half-time, 1-0, pretty comfortable. I think their two best chances was saved by Adrian and Angelino, who I didn't recognise because he had hair. first time I've seen Angelino have hair in years. So I was like, who's this? And it was a good shot. Still a funny
there was one actually right that they had right at the end of the half that Nkunku should have scored from. It was a mistake from us. And Canate made a mistake, and Nkunku should have scored. Adrian made a good save from that, but in fairness, they should have got back. It would have been 1-1 at halftime and different game. But we go in 1-0, solid, dependable, good first solid half, a good workout, but. Klopp said at the start of the game that he expected some players to get 60 minutes.
New challenge for you, Kev. Darwin yeah. Nunes, have my babies, which I believe is Red Steve. Sod the Mohican, Kev. Get yourself a man bun.
Yeah, those days are well gone. Those days are well and truly over, I'm afraid.
But the way my hair's going, it might be me getting the man bun.
Did you expect the changes at halftime? Do you expect the players to stay? Did you expect them to stay on?
I expected changes because remember Klopp saying some players do 60, some will do half an hour, some do 45. So there's some that I must admit, I didn't think Canate would go off. I naturally assumed it'd be Virgil. Yeah, but Virgil got an hour. Robbo for Tsimikas kind of makes sense because Robbo's done a lot of running. He got married, 4 days ago? He's probably still, probably still drunk with being married, to be honest. Because we know he likes a party, Robbo. So, for Nunes makes sense. I think they're just sharing the number nine role. And the other player who came on, Joel for Canate, which is fine. Yeah. I did think Gomez was going to come on first, but so be it. And then let's check the time on my 48 minutes. We get a penalty. Good throw from Trent. Henderson flicks it on. Straight to Bafa Nunes. Does what you want a winger to do, knocks past the keeper and takes the foul. And as Jurgen Klopp said, it must be Mo's new contract to be generous because clearly it should have been Mo on the penalty. And I must admit, when he said, I thought Mo had gone off, and I went, oh no, okay. Look, he gets his first goal. It's not the greatest of penalties, but quite frankly, as long as they go in, no kids. He telegraphed it too much, but look, power beats the keeper. And look, it gets that monkey off his back. It's not a competitive goal. You know, you want that to come against Fulham. But look, it stops some of the absolute hyperbolics around him. The amount of dickheads who've made YouTube clips over a striker not scoring in two games or misplacing the pass, forget it, life. And sadly, some of these are actually on our own fan base. But look, as much as I wasn't getting overhyped with him not scoring, I'm not going to get overhyped with him scoring four goals. The positives you can see is there's a nice variety in them, and they weren't all the similar type of goals. You know, to be honest, he probably should have had five, really, but we'll go through his goals. But look, he took his penalty, took it well. I'd like the second goal. I mean, Trent's in a number 10 position, which you don't expect all the time, but he flicks it onto him. And it's a nice shot across the keeper. And I'm thinking, that's kind of what you want to see. Because I'm so used to seeing videos of him coming from the left, cutting his head to bend it. So coming from the right and putting it in the far corner. It was nice finish.
So that one impressed me more. The build-up play from the young kid that came on, because they made the changes then.
60, was it? No, it was the kid came on after that.
Yeah, it was look, it's disrespectful, I know, but I just don't know all the under-23s and the kids who were there. He was number 43 or something.
Brejovic, I think his name was.
Brejovic.
I didn't know who he was. I sort of knew he was a defensive player. The natural reaction on 60, we'll come back to Nunes' second goal. Because these all came after Nunes' second goal. The natural reaction was, Morton will come on.
Because that's what you'd expect.
But actually, he brought Brejovic on, and they played him DM and told Hendo to push on and Jones to push on. And look, he was comfortable. That was lively. Yeah. Quite like the tackle, you know, all sorts of things. Look,
17 years of age, like, you know, and he didn't look. He didn't look. One, he didn't look 17. And two, he didn't look overawed by the fact that I'm playing with all these superstars around me. And he's like, yeah, I belong here and give me the ball.
Yeah. So, for some players, the better the team around them, it naturally elevates your level.
Yeah, but so, the one thing I want to say about that one, the weight of pass by Trent to put Darwin in was fantastic. And to slot that in, Bejcek, to slot that into the side netting, that's a proper striker's finish.
Yeah.
You know, really, that's what I really enjoy. And in fairness, the third one
is a poacher's
finish. That was a poacher's. That was Robbie Fowler, you know.
Yeah,
diving in and just nicking it and tapping it in. I love those goals. I absolutely love those goals.
And then the fourth is an absolute howler by the keeper.
The fourth was made up.
Pulls out left, if you watch YouTubes of Darwin, that's the goal he's probably more naturally known for. Pulls out left, brings it on his right, and bends it bottom corner. That's sort of his finish. That's what quite a lot of his goals are. So it was good, you know. He was unlucky with his header as well. So he still gives us also that physicality in the air, but it's not just lump crossing forwards all the time. Yeah. It's still a lot more.
The power he got in that header was good. And the other one, the Carvalho header into space, you know, at the end of the half, where I'd imagine he was probably blowing a bit. You know, the confidence to be able to take that on his head, nod it into space, take it on, give Darwin for the awareness to say, okay, come out to go back in. Lovely way to pass again. And yeah, it was a howler from the keeper, but there was enough power on it to give it a chance. And you know, he deserved it. And there was another one in there in the second half as well, where Harvey had a lovely chance. Yeah, the header that just went wide. Harvey Elliott. Yeah, he was a chip that from Carvalho, I think it was.
Bill, it was Carvalho and Jones, and then they got in. So, yeah, because the last half hour, that's when we made massive change then. So, young Harvey Davies come on, we'll come back to him. The ever sprightly James Milner, who was brilliant, I thought, at right back.
Yeah, I thought he was really good again.
Set the tone. Joe Gomez came on for Virgil. Then we had Curtis came on for Thiago. Carvalho came on. Brejovic came on. And then Elliot came on.
Henrik is saying there was a Simicast ship. Yeah, it probably was.
Well, I've had a beer here. I can't remember.
I got no excuse. I'm drinking water.
That's your excuse there. The young keeper, Davis, he's looked quite a good prospect. You can clearly see how Liverpool are developing their goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they all look comfortable with the ball. You know, they were quite close to pass it back to him, take the touch, you know, really good distribution. You know, so you can kind of see it in the look. Whether he'll ever play for be a regular for Liverpool, don't know.
Who knows?
But
he's doing everything right.
You can see the style. He looks like a Liverpool keeper, the stylistically what he wants. He looks like a modern keeper. That's the way keepers are now. So, you know.
Yeah, I was impressed with his distribution in every game that he's played. It's not just by accident. You know, they're working on this relentlessly with keepers, probably right the way through the age groups. So that when, Tiernan there says he's only 19, which...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Baby Perfect,
you know, because I think next year there's going to be a decision need to be made on Quivín. So
just tell me
to have another one in the pipeline coming is, you know, it just bodes well. It does bode well. And there's a couple of other young keepers who are at the club
and young Petaluga's just gone on loan, hasn't he? So again,
yeah, he's gone on loan to, is it non-league, isn't he?
Macclesfield, isn't
he? Yeah. So, and he's got to get a proper dose of real men's football.
Which I think is what a young keeper needs sometimes.
Yeah, he needs to get battered around a little bit and see how the other half lives. And so, it'll do him no good. Or no harm, sorry. Do him no harm whatsoever.
So, what trio together? Elliot, Carvalho, Jones. I thought all three impressed in different ways.
Yeah.
Jones is getting more back to the Jones we saw that broke into the side. You know, he was... well, positive going forward. You know, he was, releasing clever passes out, and he's still not afraid to take a shot. He was playing less safe, while still, when Liverpool didn't have the ball, he was still, you know, in his defensive shape he should be, you know, not giving silly fouls away. So he was getting the balance right, which we saw him with Southampton away game near the tail end of the season. Elliot just looks, he's an exciting prospect. At the moment, probably looks more comfortable being an understudy wide right than he does in centre mid. Maybe that's the position for him. Carvalho, for me, look, he just got the touches and a little jinx of there's definitely potentially something special with him. It's pre-season, so, you know, everyone could look good in pre-season, but just the way to pass, the way, the movement, the way he turns, you sort of get excited. He's one of those players that get excited when he gets the ball, you know.
There was one thing about Carvalho, there was one bit late in the game where I thought was absolutely brilliant. He tracked back all the way back and nicked the ball off Larma or one of their players on the edge of our box. And that's what you want to see. You know, that impressed me as much as the flick header to get the assist for the goal. Because it's all well and good going forward. Everyone loves going forward and attacking and getting into space and what have you. Doing the ugly donkey work, that for me is what I want to see in pre-season.
But if
It's 4-0, and you've won the game. You're right at the end. And Area is tracking back to nick a ball to relieve pressure. I thought that's what you want in a young player that you want to invest time into. And I think the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah. So the other thing that was quite good is because the referee was lenient to say the least. I think he forgot it was a friendly sometimes.
Yeah.
But there was one bit, and I don't want to see youngsters getting kicked up in the air, but there was a bit near the end where I think Carvalho's getting booted and he keeps going, And then Jones, the same thing, where he keeps it in the corner. Basically makes a bit of a fool of the two centre-backs, and they end up getting upended a little bit. But they just bounce up and go with it.
Yeah,
and sort of thinking, didn't react. He's thinking, you've got to get used to that, because when you are going to go to, I mean, I know Burnley aren't in the Premier League anymore, but that ilk of club, and we can probably pick others like that, you are going to get moments where you're going to have some dickhead centre half to strangle through you. And it's how you react to it, and, you know, you just bounce up, not a bother, really. So, all in all, I think as a pre-season game goes, you score 5, no one gets injured. You can see nice patterns of play. You can see some of your younger players, you know, showing signs what they can do. And your new striker finally gets a goal off the mark. It's pretty
good. There's only possible win tonight. I mean, you've seen some of the horror stories that you've seen coming out of preseason's games over the last week. None more so than last night in Minnesota with Everton. You know,
getting beat by a lad who's part-time on Costa Coffee, that one.
Well, players take this notion that they're going to the MLS, and the MLS is the MLS of 20 years ago. They're in the middle of their season. They're match fit and match sharp over there. And you're coming in for preseason games. These guys know that these games are being watched by other Premier League clubs. These players are going to be taking it up to a level where they want to leave a mark. Yeah, that one today, Jonathan, as well.
Sends off in the Levante Wolves game. Spanish teams don't do friendlies. Jesus.
Well, we remember that from last year, don't we? Do you remember the game at Anfield? I think it was Villa. Was it Villarreal?
Osasuna. Osasuna,
yeah. And they were kicking lumps out of everything. Mm. Yeah, it was a vicious, nasty game. Like, so much so that you were almost like, ref, you need to start jumping in and protect these players here. But yeah, it's. I think when you look at the, because I watched on LFC TV and they interviewed Tomo after the game, and he was basically saying, all you want out of preseason, see the patterns of play, see the press, how that's working, no injuries, good minutes in the legs, and some standout performances, which is what we all got. But at the same time, the progression is there. From the United game, the one where we lost 4-0, but that could have easily been 4-3, 4-4. It could have been anything, because it wasn't as if we went through that game and didn't have chances. We created chances. It's just that we were punished for our mistakes. The difference is tonight, we looked sharper. We made less mistakes. There was a few in the first half. One or two that I thought Fabinho was in a really advanced position, and he slipped two or three times. So whether he was just wearing the wrong studs or what, I don't know. But the recovery pace from Konate and from Virgil was there, and that's what you want to see. You know, I thought we were, all in all, every player that came on, every player that played positive. And then now you're going into, they know, poor Robertson was asked at the end of on his interview, he's like, you're looking forward to next week. The look on his face was like, no, we know what's coming. We're not looking forward.
Rob was like, I've just got married. I'm still full of my wedding cake and I've got to run it off now.
Yeah, he knows what's coming in the next week. It's almost like now they're going to be going to hell.
Klopp's line was, he goes, we need to get fitter. We need to get ourselves ready. We're not at the level we need to be for the season. Not sure if we'll be ready for the Salzburg game, but we'll see. Which was cue for, lads, you're going to run your bollocks off and then you're going to play and you're going to hate it.
Yeah, so, exactly. But, you're going to hate me for the next week. And they know it, but they know they got to go through this.
But the ones who've been there long enough, it works because, you know, near the end of the season, bar probably a couple of years, the COVID season, we're always there or thereabouts in competitions or the league. So, you know, it's kind of where you want to be, really, isn't it? So,
yeah.
But so yeah, so look, preseason so far, it's like I said, it's just nice seeing a bit of footy back, isn't it? Yeah, watching the lads back.
I'm not gonna lie, I missed the start of the quiz last night because I got really invested with
you and me were WhatsApping each other all the way through it, weren't we?
We were watching the England game, England Spain, and got really invested in it. I completely forgot that the quiz was on last night.
Yeah,
and it was a really good game. It was a good game. England semi-final now next Tuesday.
Spain were very unlucky because, look, I can be perfectly honest and say, on another day, if Spain had won that 1-0, 2-0, you all sort of wouldn't have really quibbled over it because they played well, but it was a cracking goal to win it. Yeah. So, look, semi-final in Sheffield, I believe it is. So, good to watch, isn't it? And Jesse Lingard's gone to Forest, talk, he's on big wages. He's on a free. Yeah. So if you're on a free, the big wages come.
Yeah, I think they all break.
Interesting sort of Forest, though, because for all accounts, you'd thought he'd have gone back to West Ham.
I've seen reports that he was offered 180 grand a week. I've seen others say that it's 120 grand, including bonuses. Doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a one-year contract. So it's, and to be honest, if you'd have asked me when Nico signed for Forest, I honestly thought, yeah, they've bought well. They've done some good business. And it's almost like they've gone into this,
a luxury mode.
They've done a Fulham. They've gone mental now. The Forest side to turn up at the start of this season is not going to be anything remotely close to the Forest side that got promoted. And this won't end well. I'd almost lay whatever money you want. I think they're definitely going to go. They're going to go down. I mean, you cannot sign 11 players and bed them in this league without consequences. There's just way too many. Absolutely.
I suppose it's how you integrate them. Does he start with a lot of the lads who got them up and you slowly...
He's got a rake of them. There's a rake of them gone. You know, that's why I look at the transfer business that we've done. We've done it early. There's not much disruption. Yes, Satio's gone. Darwin's come in. But other than that, there's not much disruption to how we work and what we're going to be doing. Man City are in a rebuild. You know, I didn't expect at the start of this window that they'd get rid of Sterling and Jesus and Zinchenko.
No.
Having Cucurella locked up, done, dusted, ready to be announced an hour after, you know, Zinchenko left the door. It's just not the way they normally do things. And so no, it's Bernardo maybe. Silva wants to go, you know?
The Bernardo Silva one that surprised me because he's so vital to them. He's a bloody nightmare. And I mean that in a nice way. That's why we all dislike him, because he's an absolute nightmare to play against. So, I mean, if you say Brighton said they want 50 million and they've bid 30, we'll see.
They're miles off where Brighton are rightly asking 50.
Good player.
Because, in fairness, now that they've sold Zinchenko, Brighton are in the box seat because he's got a long contract. They don't have to sell him. They're a well-run club. They don't need the money. And now City are in a position where they need the player more than Brighton need to sell.
Plus we also know City like to pay 50 million for fullback. So, you know, it's kind of the going rate, isn't it? So, you know.
Well, exactly. That's what amazed me, that they didn't do the deal for Cucurella before allowing Zinchenko to go. I just think that's a madness. You know, I think that we're in a really good spot at the minute. If we do anything more, fine, but I'm really happy with the squad that as it is at the minute, and I have been for a while. I've been pretty consistent in saying it. You know, if we go into the season tomorrow, I'm in a happy spot.
I think I'm content, I would say. You know,
yeah. Look, that's right. If we get any more, great. But I'm still
ideally like one more, whether that's a right winger or a centre mid. I'm not too fussed. One or the other would be handy. But if we don't, that squad is still good enough to be challenging for Europe and league titles. I mean, pretty much it was last year. So I think people are just not used to the unknown because we're so used to having a Sadio Mane. And we've had a Sadio Mane for, was it 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years. You know, there is a comfort with that because you know what you're going to get. Whereas this is like Nunez, we hope he's just going to pick up the Mane goals. But we don't know.
Can I ask if anyone in the chat might know? Did Sadio get awarded the African Player of the Year?
Yes, he did.
I seen leaks today that he was going to get it.
I saw a leak saying it's like it was a done deal.
Well, I don't know if it was announced today or not, or if anyone knows.
Which I think he has. I mean, it seems to be the obvious choice anyway. You know, he was one of the main big reasons they won the first ever AFCON, he won the big reason they got into the World Cup, you know, ahead of Egypt. Both times in Egypt, there are historically win big tournaments for Africa. So,
yeah,
fair play. And look,
I hope he does. I think he deserves it.
Second half season, he was excellent. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, towards the end of the season, I was talking about him being in contention for a Ballon d'Or with everything that he's done, winning the AFCON.
I think if
we'd have got over the line,
if we got over the line against Madrid, I think if he got over the line in the Champions League, I think he would have got the Ballon d'Or. That's what I think. But
Chris, you get busy there to throw up some comments, because I'm going to ask, if you guys in the chat, can you just throw in your hot takes from tonight? What is, you know, your one thing that either surprised you, shocked you, or, you know, from what you've seen tonight, what are you expecting to see out of guys this season? Are you expecting to see Darwin hit 25 in the league? Are you expecting Carvalho to make 20 appearances? Is Alisson going to break Peter Cech's clean sheet record this season? What do you guys think?
He's get fit first.
Yeah, true. At least he's on the tour. At least he's out and on tour. So
yeah,
the injury that he's got can't be too serious.
Can't be as serious as, say, as Kelleher, who didn't travel.
Kevin Ball, you can just go and wash your mouth out with soap with that.
Adrian will be number one this season. Well, he might buy number one shirt in the shop. You never know, do you? Listen, the way as it stands, he's starting against Fulham.
that's it in the minute.
So, Red Rebel saying he's expecting 10 plus assists from Carvalho.
That'd be a hell of a first season return, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of talk about Emma Hayes, and I think it's about Emma Hayes as a pundit, which is interesting. She was good in the men's Euros as a pundit. It helps when you've got someone who's still a serving manager. Gives you just a bit of a different insight to it, which is always good. So anything
Charlie's else. Charlie's saying there, Elliot to play more games than Naby.
Well, as long as it depends. If Naby kicks the floor, if Naby kicks the grass again, you know, there's every chance that there's an opportunity.
Naby didn't miss many games last year. So.
But he did miss two games because he kicked the grass, which, to be fair, is still the funniest injury I've ever heard of. And I generally thought it was one of those blag accounts. Then I realized it was the real Paul Joyce that I put it. I generally thought I had to check it wasn't a blag.
How many times did you do that this window so far?
Well, Kevin Ball, I know.
Elliot gets 10 goals and 10 assists in all competitions. I don't know that he gets 10 goals. Assists, yeah.
Laszlo, Firmino Renaissance. That'd be nice.
I know a few people who'd be kind of buzzing over that.
I know a few people be giving me DMs.
Do you know what? It's the one option that you have, and you could see it in today between the first half and the second half. The difference in how we were able to play with Bobby dropping in, creating the extra space to dominate possession, secure a game. You could see that kind of happening. Rajabi, Joe Gomez to score his first Liverpool goal. God willing, he is overdue.
He's still never scored a senior goal.
No,
to be fair to him, he hasn't had many opportunities because most of the time it is Evan goes up for corners, he's the one to hang back.
He's the hanger back.
Well, partly because he's got pace and partly because he's a bit like Stefan Onsho. Evan goes, not much chance of that.
Yeah. But in fairness, do you know what? When he does get his goal, I hope it is an important one. I hope it's either a late game winner or a deciding cup final goal or something. I hope it's a goal that's got to be remembered.
Cup end would be great. Winner at the cup end. Paul Smith, I think he's put this in about three times now. Jones will play more games than either Elliot or and Naby. Possibly. I know Paul Smith's a big fan of Jones. I mean, Jones probably would have played more than he did last year if he didn't have a detached retina, which is a bit of a, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
He's a big blow because that cost him
9 weeks or something, 9 or 10 weeks, 2.5 months. And unfortunately,
it was over the January period as well, which would have been a period of time
where he would have played.
And he was in good form then as well. So
I think there's a decent possibility of that, but I think Klopp really, really loves Harvey Elliott. And I think long term, I can see Harvey playing that advanced eight role on the right hand side, and
maybe this year might be back to playing wide right just to hone your game.
Yeah, we'll see.
Which can do.
We'll see.
Because ultimately, Jones's best position is probably on the left of the midfield three, but he's got a competition because it's Thiago's best position. It's probably Keita's best position. We have a lot of players who look Carvalho too. They all probably look better on the left. We don't have many players who look great on the right.
I get that.
It's probably Henderson and Elliot are the two that prefer the right.
What's that? Tom Boland, Frank Lampard to be the first sacked.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I can see that. I think he probably, I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's very, very realistic.
Getting sacked first, an interesting one because, you know, generally the new promoted clubs are normally a bit trigger happy. Look, there's no Watford now, so, you know, that sort of gives it a bit more of a wide open berth, doesn't it? You know, yeah. Eddie Howe if Newcastle don't get going.
True. There's a few of them there. What's that? Someone there saying about Haaland getting top scorer this season.
Haaland
would do well to stay fit for a season.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If Haaland stays fit for a season, he'll be in the conversation at the end of the season for being top scorer. I just think he'll have a real struggle getting fit, staying fit for long enough.
There you go. Just to be our second highest scorer after Salah, important for us as Nunes settles. I think a lot of sleeping on Jota. The killer is in getting that injury because it looks like he's definitely not going to be available for the Charity Shield.
I think it could be a while because it's a reoccurrence of an injury. So
yeah, which is a there you
that's
go.
The kind of one you take your time off.
Jesse Marsh, that's the one I was thinking of. He could also be favourite for the first
time. I think that Leeds are actually in a really good spot. I think they've bought really well. They've invested well in the right type of player.
I'd like to get a run because I did think he got a raw deal when he went to Leeds, which was
keep
Leeds up after Bielsa, which is look, a lot of people loved Bielsa, you know, which is fair enough. But after the transfer window, it was like February, so go like you're basically stuck with the lads you've got. He couldn't even like try and bring a few lads in that he wanted to. Haaland to be injured for more games than he's fit. I mean, I can't remember. I'm sure I've read he hasn't broken 30 games in a season.
Yeah. Jonathan is in Gerrard first sack. This is Gerrard. Steven Gerrard is under pressure this season.
This is his season now.
This is his season now because this is his squad. This is the squad now that he's decided to settle on and invest in. So I think I think he'll be okay for a while. Laszlo and a few others have mentioned actually Brendan Rodgers could be in a bit of trouble at Leicester.
Hasselhult's getting mentioned. I mean,
I personally think Southampton could go this season.
Yeah, I mean, Hasselhult does like a 9-0 every now and again, doesn't he? So that always helps.
It's not the 9-0s that are going to catch him this time. It's if the lack of quality.
Listen, I know people say this because I like to wind them up, and I mean, I do. But I think the Blues are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I just look at that squad going. As much as I disliked him, Richarlison was a key man for them, and they haven't yet brought too much in that's making me go, okay, they'll be okay. Tarkowski's a really good centre-back, so that's one thing, because they needed a very good centre-back, but also needed a centre-back who can stay fit, which is Yerry Mina's big problem is he can't stay fit. So,
This could be the first Premier League season for a while that you have real defined gaps.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Where you know, I think us and City are clear in the top two. I think the battle for third down to seventh is going to be interesting.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Seventh down to 12th, you're going to have a gap.
Yeah.
And then from 12th down, anything could happen.
David making absolutely a good point. Salah going for the record to score the first game of the season. I think that'll be 6 years in a row. Which is
the way he's playing, I wouldn't back against it because I think he's got fire in his belly. He's playing with a freedom as well. You know, his right leg is still only for standing on. You know, he showed that again today where
although
a couple of chances, he just took with his right and it just doesn't look natural at all to him, no matter what he does.
He still probably scored his best goal with his right foot, which is that one against City.
That was a stabbing, wasn't it?
I know, but it's a cracking goal.
Though, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
John O'Shea, still not fully sold on Tottenham. A lot of talk. I don't think people will be fully sold on Tottenham until, and I think it's similar to us, the year we actually went close to beating City and then won the league was, I haven't seen Liverpool ever break 90 points. So until they do, I'm not going to believe it, which I think a lot of rivals said, and I think that's fair. I'm a bit like with Tom. I've never seen Tottenham break 90 points, and I've never seen Tottenham get close to breaking 90 points while still balancing a Champions League run.
Yeah. Well, when we get back into our new shows next season, I'll say what I think about Tottenham. But
well, don't say too much because our first guest is going to be at Tottenham.
I've already said it to him. He knows where I am with it, and isn't it?
I think Luke's a very level-headed.
He is, yeah. I think Spurs have bought well. They've bought well to stand still, and they'll get into the top four a bit more comfortably this year.
I think Conte is
such a militant driver of players, and I can see enough players in that dressing room going, yeah, I've had enough of this guy.
Yeah. The thing is, I think they've done enough to potentially push themselves to overtaking Chelsea in third. Chelsea have bought well with Sterling. I think Sterling's, look, as much as I know it's...
I still can't get over the fact that City allowed him to leave.
Someone pointed out, I can't remember which podcast it was on, it might have been the Anfield Wrap. They said it was a bit of old City arrogance and a bit of big boy talk, which was, we're not concerned about you, you can have it. Different levels. Bit like when Chelsea will happily loan us Victor Moses because they're going, you can have Victor Moses. Why? Because you're shite. You're not going to get anywhere near us. Yeah. I mean, look, you nearly backfired, but that, maybe that's where City see Chelsea is going, well, you might help take points to Liverpool, but we don't think you'll challenge us. I mean, that's a, Jonathan, the difference between us and Spurs is Spurs is a losing club. It's in their DNA. No matter the players, the manager always loses. I get that. I know it's nice to do the banter with Spurs, but until Liverpool won the league under Klopp, we were known as perennial nowhere near a league title win for a good 30 years. So, and look, but I do think, like you said, Kev, it's which Conte you get. Does he stick at it and go for it? And we've seen it before. If he's had enough, he'll just go.
I don't think that. I think the way Conte is such a driven person that to work for, that's, I was going to ask you to bring that one up. The way Conte is as a manager, he's such a driven manager that he won't accept anything less than perfection. And I think he's an excellent manager. I really do. But I think his style of managing a club has a shelf life.
Isn't he just basically Italian Mourinho?
No. He will literally run players till they're dead and then wake them up for 20 more minutes. He's so militant about it.
No, but I mean, as in when he doesn't stay at clubs long term. But when he goes,
he leaves carnage in his wake.
That's what I mean. The Mourinho thing is, you know, what state does he leave Tottenham in when he leaves?
Yeah, Matt Jackal there. The Guardian Football Weekly predicted that we'll finish outside the top four. Losing Mane has us in serious trouble, apparently. Look, I'm not going to lie. Okay, losing Sadio is a big deal. And anyone who says it isn't a big deal is deluded. He's constantly fit. He's always available. You know what you're going to get with him, and he'll get you into double figures, goals and assists every year. You know, he's Mr. Dependable. Darwin, as much as, you know, you give him his flowers for tonight, he was excellent. And I love the way he plays. I love the runs he makes, the options he gives us. He's completely different to everything that we've ever had under Klopp. Whereas he's a striker that plays on the shoulder and runs in behind and creates space that way. But he's not done it in the league. He's not done it with the pressure on him yet. So the jury's out on him. He's all the signs are good, and he's done everything that you can ask. He gets in great positions, but time will tell. The notion that we'll finish outside the top four. Every pundit on the planet is waiting for us to fail, is waiting for Klopp to blow up. Salah is going to be his fifth season wonder. You know what I mean? It's they're waiting for, they're dying for us to fail because
But then it helps other clubs with the notion of, well, you can't compete with City, can you? No one compete with City with what they spend. No one can do it. But the fact then we are with, before people get really mad, and I know people clip this up, yes, Liverpool do spend money. They don't spend to the level of City, you know. But it sort of proves that you don't have to spend the level of City if you spend smart.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Because where Liverpool, I say, is Liverpool can spend big, but Liverpool could not afford a Alexis Sanchez mistake where you buy a lad, big money, and he sits on the bench and he's shite. So basically, Nunes for us, I don't think Liverpool could afford to have Nunes sat on the bench regularly for a whole season because he's crap and doesn't work. I don't think we could afford that high profile. I think you could afford for like the Carriases or the Stephen Colkers not to work out because they're not big money. They're not going to hurt you, but your big investments you can't afford to.
Yeah, they have to be right. You know, you have to be right. Pretty much, you have to have a strike record in the transfer window in the high 80s.
Yeah,
whereas of players to work,
City, United, and Chelsea probably. We'll see post Abramovich could afford to have he's not worked, but we'll get another one.
Mm.
That's where it is. And that's great because it can sometimes create laziness, which I think is what struck United in the past. City, although they spend big, are fairly strategic, as in most players they sign, you sort of go, I see how that works in the squad, or I see what that gives them. That's probably been the problem with United and probably Chelsea in the last couple of years. If you've looked at players and going, I don't know how that works, or are they doing a big, massive overhaul that we haven't seen? So I'll be shocked if Liverpool are outside the top four. I'll be shocked if Liverpool are actually in the title race because that squad's more than good enough to do that.
Yeah, and I'm still interested to see what City do because Julian Alvarez is a really good signing. I stick by what I said about Haaland. I think if they can keep him fit, he'll score goals. But City have got to adapt how they play to get the best out of him. He's not your archetypical type of Pep striker. He's not really noted for working well with the big man, you know. And as good as his hype is, he does have issues in his game. If they lose Bernardo Silva, it's going to be a huge issue. They've lost Fernandinho out of the dressing room, that experience. Replace well. Calvin Phillips is a really good player, but they've, you know, no. Everyone is assuming the City are just going to be City and they're just going to steamroll sides over as normal. We'll see. I obviously think they'll be in a title challenge, but I don't think they're as good now. I think they were better 12 months ago, going into last season, than they are now. I think they were stronger last season than they are this season.
We will see. I think Wright City. I always say Wright City will beat your peril.
Yeah, I'm not writing them off. I just think that they were better last season than they are now.
Mm, we will see. We'll do 10 more minutes, Kev. But before we go there, we need to talk about the important thing, which isn't Liverpool winning a friendly. It's our charity partner, which is Bobby's Wish to Walk. So Bobby is a 7-year-old boy who has suspected cerebral palsy. So what they're trying to do is raise money to take him to America to undergo life-changing surgery. So all we're asking is, details are in the description below. You guys have helped us out with Kian, you've helped us out with Sienna. We're asking for your help again. Details are in the description below. Click on the go for me and give. If you can give, give. If you can't, put it in your WhatsApp group, retweet it. They're on Instagram as well. Just try and spread the word. And look, let's try and get another youngster to America to get surgery. That'll make his life a lot easier. That is more important than a 5-0 win in a friendly. Yeah, which, to be honest, absolutely. It's grand. We can look. Me and Kev can talk shite and have a laugh. We do that all the time anyway. But that is more important than anything. So if you take nothing away from the show,
that's what you could do. Actually, the family's very active on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
In the link below, you'll be able to link to their Insta page. Just go and follow them. Just go and follow them, and you'll see the posts that they put up. And see a lot of, you know, there was one there that he went to the races with his dad. His dad took him to the races. There was another one where he was at a GAA match and stuff like that. He just looks like a really, really good, bubbly 7-year-old lad who just needs a bit of help. That's all it is. Just needs a bit of help. And we'll get there with it. And all of them.
Red Rebel says, if Haaland stays fit all season, they'll finish on 95-plus points again. They finished on 95-plus points last year without an arguable recognised striker. So, well, they did have a recognised striker. It's a myth they didn't. They just played him right wing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny how people say, you know, City finally got a striker. Liverpool technically never had a striker for 5 years. We have lots of wide players who play up front, you know. But East in their own. Cool.
It's one of those. You know, I just think that it's the one thing with City, with even, you know, through the time with Aguero, through the time last season, last 2 years, their forwards played a certain way. They were really fluid in how they played. Haaland isn't that. Haaland's not that type of player. And no. I've watched a fair bit of him over the years. And he's a brilliant striker. But he's a striker who picks up injuries. And he's a striker who, when he gets on a run, he just gets on a run for fun. But he goes through barren and dry spells and he gets frustrated in games. He's got work to do. You know, and it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to hit the ground running. And City need him to. With us with Darwin, it's not the be-all and end-all, because I think Mo's going to outscore both of them anyway.
Mm. There's probably a little bit more pressure on Darwin now with the Jota injury. I know
we've got
Firmino, which can help out. But as I said, we saw last year Firmino, he was picking up a lot of muscle injuries. So, look, touch wood, he doesn't. But you know, you kind of got to base on what you've seen in recent times as well. So if that's anything that puts a bit more pressure on Nunes, we haven't got the Jota buffer. Because I generally thought, start of the season, it'd be Diaz, Jota, Salah. That was my front three. And you'd bring Nunes in slowly. And look, as the season went on, I would expect Nunes to just be the main number nine, which is kind of the Klopp way. And to be honest, it's probably a sensible way of breaking a player in. It doesn't have that Jota buffer as such, so... Yeah. That's the only thing that's going to put a bit of pressure on it. Listen, fingers crossed, the Jota injury isn't too bad. And, you know, he's only going to miss he might miss once a pre-season, but hopefully he's back full or more game after as an option, which at least then take a bit of pressure off. So, Kev, we're looking forward to next Friday. We've got a new show, haven't we, mate?
Yeah, we've got a new one. We've got a bunch of new shows coming. But we've got a new one coming next week. I hope you guys have all got your fantasy football stuff sorted out.
Me and Kev, we've actually logged on. I mean, me and Kev between us, I have no clue what we're doing.
I've got a decent side, but I don't know if it's going to be a decent side that's going to score loads of points.
I don't think I've got a decent side.
But it's get on to, what is the bloody, the code for the fantasy football is Silk.
It's on our Instagram and it's on our Twitter feed as well. You can find it, and I've no doubt Gav and the guys will be resharing it out again. So
absolutely, yeah. But yeah, get involved because we're going to highlight. It's going to be one of the key highlights of the show on Friday night. So we're going to talk about the league and the players that are in it and what have you.
Well, the theme is it'll be two of me, Kevin, Luke. So you get a rest from one of us at least a week, and then we aim to get two rival fans on each week and. We'll just talk about the three biggest games of the weekend. Guess what? Might not always be a Liverpool game.
Yeah.
You know, just to, you know, give where we think the game's going to go, what we think we're going to do. We're hoping to get, I think it's Oscar and Luke, hopefully we'll be getting next week. We'll film them up this week, which will be good fun. And then we'll talk about fantasy football, even though me and Kev are absolute garbage at it. So we're kind of hoping Luke knows what he's doing. I've got a feeling Luke's going to message us soon and go like, I haven't got a clue either. So
no, well, one of us is going to have to get Shawnee off his perch because, I mean, can you imagine what he'd be like? He'd be gloating like a good thing by the end of the season.
I'm aiming to not finish bottom. As long as I don't finish bottom, I'll be well made up. Anything beyond that, I suppose. I don't think anyone's catching Shawnee. Shawnee's the Man City of... Shawnee is probably the Man City of fantasy football. So if you beat Shawnee, fair play to you. You've also got a lot of time on your hands because that's very hard to do.
That is very difficult, yeah. But it is going to be fun. That's the one thing that we're going to try and make the show as interactive as possible. Yes. And
because we like doing that. It's good.
But hopefully someone who's regularly in the chat with us on Friday nights is going to really smash it in the league. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll bring up who's done well, who's done badly, and how shit me and Kev have done, which maybe we should do a combined team, Kev, you and me, to put our two brains together.
No, because we'd end up falling out and fighting over who's doing what, and then I'd win, and you'd just cry. And
yeah, but I control.
Can't be having that.
But I control the show, so I'll just delete you. Kev's not here anymore. Yeah, and I am that brutal.
Yeah, he is. On that note, let's just call it a
day. Let's go before we actually fall out, which we probably will do, because we always do. So listen, don't forget, details in the description below for our charity. That's more important than anything else. So don't forget, Bobby's wish to walk. That's the key thing. Other than that, Liverpool won 5-0. Nunes scored 4. Basically, guys, we have got absolutely nothing to worry about. But listen, we'll be back. When will we be back, Kev? Is it Wednesday next week we're playing?
It's Wednesday or Thursday next week.
Well, you and me, I'm sure it'll be you and me back for that. So we'll talk about Salzburg and then hopefully not. I mean, you never know. Nunes might get 5 by then. But then again, maybe not. We'll see. Speak to you later.
See. Do that. Sports Social Podcast Network.